From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Saving starts with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Thinking Sideways is not supported by carnivorous butterflies. Instead, it's supported by the generous donations of our listeners on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/thinkingsideways to learn more. And thanks.
Thinking Sideways.
I don't understand.
Does not compute.
You never know.
Insufficient data to formulate a decline.
What?
Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Well, hello there. Welcome again to another episode of Thinking Sideways. I'm Joe, joined as always by my co-hosts,
Devin
and Steve.
Ha-ha. All right.
So you guys ready to talk about a mystery?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yes. We haven't done it in a while.
Yeah. You like this
days.
One. This one's got lots of...
It's been literally days.
It has been days. It hasn't even been a week.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so this week, we haven't done a nice bloody one for a while. So this is a bloody one.
You're going to make us do a bloody one.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Atlanta Ripper, a serial killer in the early 20th century that probably most of you have not heard about.
I hadn't beforehand.
I didn't hear about this until pretty recently, actually.
How did you hear about it?
I don't remember.
Was it like mysteries that'll make you like poop your pants?
Probably something like that. I was doing some random Googling, just looking for fun new mysteries. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember, to tell you the truth, exactly where I stumbled across this one.
Just somewhere.
But yeah, that was kind of interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Atlanta Ripper. The Atlanta Ripper murdered a bunch of people, actually young women, in the years 1910. Some say through 1912. Others say through late 1911. He killed more people than Jack the Ripper, but Jack gets all the glory. Everybody knows who Jack the Ripper is.
True. We did an episode on Jack the Ripper.
We actually did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It eventually got big enough to make the national news. The New York Times, May 12, 1912, said, quote, Jack the Ripper, unquote, claimed his 20th woman victim in Atlanta sometime last night. The blacks, who are in a state of terror and try to keep their women off the street at night, have offered a large reward for the arrest of the murderer. I didn't mention this. The Ripper only killed black women.
So they called him Jack the Ripper, even in Atlanta.
In Atlanta, they did.
They called
actually,
him Jack the Ripper of
they
Atlanta.
They did call him Jack the Ripper, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and eventually it got to when all this national attention started happening. Eventually, you know, a lot of the city's leading commerce leaders and politicians and everything started pressuring the mayor, who started pressuring the police to actually get serious about this. Because apparently the Atlanta police, I mean, it's not like they didn't investigate, but, you know, I kind of doubt they were working as hard as if it had been white women who had been getting killed, probably.
I was going to say, this is 1911.
Yeah.
It's a very racially segregated area. And not even just an area, just a time in this country. And so their priorities were very reflective of that.
Well, not to like spark a political debate, I'm just going to like one off say, even now in America, oftentimes crimes against minorities are not as investigated as crimes against white people.
Mm-hmm. There is a different effort level, it does appear.
Sometimes.
Not always.
I would not say always either. Yeah.
But the fact that that still remains is testament to how incredible it must have been, you know, in the early 1900s.
Mm-hmm. And that also makes me want to point something out to our listeners, because I know that there are some quotes as we're going to go through this, and some of that stuff is very reflective of the times. So please, if we're and we'll tell you when we're quoting something, but just be aware of that.
We're not saying
it's a
these
different
words.
Language, a different
it's
time.
It's not us.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah. All right. Here's what's known about the Ripper, or at least if you go out and look up the Ripper on the web. He killed his victims every Saturday night like clockwork. After he bashed them over the head, and then he would drag them into the bushes and cut their throats, and then he would...
From ear to ear.
Yeah, from ear to ear. And then he would eviscerate them, cutting out their lady parts like Jack the Ripper.
And yeah, it was hard, right? Because all of the articles from the time are very polite.
Yeah, they were circumspect.
None of them ever say anything explicitly, so they say, you know... cutting out parts, and you're like, what does... I don't know what that means. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. But, well, actually, sometimes...
I know what I'm supposed to infer from that, but I don't know.
Yeah. But, you know, actually, it turns out the Atlanta Ripper didn't slice open his victim and take organs out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just bashed him over the head with a rock or a brick and then would slit their throats. In one case, this is the last... really confirmed victim, he did actually remove the victim's heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it was the last case, right?
Probably the last case.
So the highest escalation that we will have seen.
Probably, yeah. And we don't actually know how many women he killed. And besides that, one other thing that's not true is that killings actually did not happen on Saturdays most of the time.
Mm.
And actually, it's really hard to say exactly when some of them did happen, because in some cases, the body was not actually found for a few days.
Mm.
And back in those days, the state of medical science was not such as it is today. You know, they really, and even today, it's kind of vague sometimes.
If a body has been sitting out for several days... it makes it a little more difficult to pin down an exact time of death.
Yeah, totally. especially in a hot place like Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
Hot, muggy place.
Yeah. So we don't really know that all of them were killed on Saturdays. Now, again, we don't know how many women that the Ripper murdered.
There's a number here. I know that there's a range that are believed to be committed by the Atlanta Ripper.
Yeah. If you read the papers, there's something between 19 and 21.
Okay. Yeah. Because I remember it being like hugely high and I was like, how have we not heard of this?
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's a lot more than Jack the Ripper. Of course, Jack the Ripper was killing white people, so maybe that's why, you know, it's still a well-known thing. And also, there actually is more documentation about Jack the Ripper than there is about this guy.
That doesn't really surprise me that much, I guess.
Yeah. So, I guess our mystery here is, well, who was the Ripper? How many people did he really kill? And did he actually even exist? Because at the time the killings were happening, this was between late 1910 and mid-1912, a lot of people in Atlanta didn't think there actually was a serial killer. And all this head bashing and throat slashing was just random murders happening.
Mm. Well, and there was a number of cases that were attributed as being Ripper cases that it was really... there was a lot of assumptions made to say that the MO was the same.
Yeah, I think that...
loosely connected is what I'm trying to say
here. Yeah, the press, I think, the Atlanta press, I think, started going back and adding people in to really juice up the story. But a lot of these 19 to 21 victims were victims of gunshot wounds. And stuff like that. And so
there were stabbings bashings and slashings.
Yeah, stabbings, but not throat slitting and all that. So, which doesn't necessarily mean it wasn't him. I mean, maybe you'd like to mix up his MO a little bit. I don't know. But at the same time, a big city like Atlanta, murders are going to happen anyway. Even if you don't have a Ripper on the loose. So anyway, I talked to a guy named Vance McLaughlin. He's a retired professor of criminal justice, and he wrote a paper on the Ripper with Robert Bing III in 2013. And you guys have seen that paper, right?
Yeah.
I sent you the link. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that study was actually really, really well done.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It was. He's a pretty thorough guy. But anyway, he and Bing looked at the 19 victims, and because the 21, when referring to 21, most of the papers even think that the murders ended in mid-1912. But there are some people who claim that there was another murder in 1913 and another one in 1914. So that's where
we're going to start. Generally, believe those were just tacked on.
Yeah. So yeah. We're going to start at the number 19. They went through all the information. They went through like newspaper archives, looked at death certificates and all that. And they managed to remove all but 8 from the list. Although there's one of them I'm questioning a little bit. I was thinking I might add it back in, but I'm not really sure. Kind of on the fence about that. It might be a copycat killing.
Mm.
In fact, there's probably a good
chance. I was going to say, this case, because of the publicity, lended itself to have a lot of copycats.
Well, but not at first.
Well, right? I'm talking about it in the height of it.
Okay.
You know, from midway on,
sure.
It would have been such an easy situation for somebody to just do what they thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And it just gets lumped in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, there was one person I'm going to talk about a little later on who actually had the clever idea to go murder a rival. She kind of got busted and didn't succeed in her crime, but I'll tell you about that
later.
Yeah, oopsie. Getting back to Professor McLaughlin again, he writes and researches about historic and obscure serial killers, and he's done a lot of research on the Atlanta Ripper, I think more than anybody, really. I managed to track him down, and I gave him a call. Mostly because I wanted to confirm my claim that the Ripper didn't mutilate his victims, and the Saturday night thing too, and he did confirm that. Yeah, there was no mutilation, and it wasn't like clockwork or anything like that. Sometimes there would be months in between killings, and there was a period in mid 1911 where there was for about 4 murders came along about once a week.
That's where it's the every Saturday night thing came
in,
because it was about a week apart.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, yeah, the professor was a real nice guy, and we had a nice talk because we both like to talk about murder and mayhem.
That's true.
Yeah, he was telling
winning all, friends and influencing people.
Yeah.
I know. I he was like telling me about this crime that some crime or another, I can't remember even now what the crime was. It's not the Atlanta Ripper, and then that reminded me of Jeremy Bamber. So I was like, hey, have you ever heard of the Jeremy Bamber case? He said, no, tell me about it. You know, so I told him about that. And I think he's probably going to check it out. And that's such a juicy case.
Yeah.
And we were just going batting mysteries back and forth like that. Oh, and I also wanted to mention, the professor's written 2 books. I told him, he didn't ask me to, but I told him I would give him a plug for his books.
Oh, yeah, no, for the help he gave, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so his 2 books are about serial killers. One is called The Postcard Killer. He's about a pedophile and serial killer named J. Frank Hickey. And he was finally arrested in 1912, died in prison in 1922. And why he didn't get strung up is kind of a mystery to me, because the guy's crimes, I don't know if you've read about this guy or not.
I haven't.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Yeah. The crime he got caught for is he lured a 7-year-old boy with promises of going to a candy store, took him to an outhouse.
Sorry, I already know this is going to be heinous.
Oh, it's heinous. And it gets more heinous. Well, he rapes the little boy, strangles him, stuffs him down in the outhouse, and then 18 days later, the chief of police in this town gets a postcard basically saying where you can find the body. And he sends 2 cops around to check the outhouse. Oh, I forgot to mention, after he murdered the little boy, he went into the saloon and started drinking.
Ugh.
Now that's ballsy. So anyway, the cops did not see the body down there. Apparently some other people had come along, go figure, 18 days later. And the body was covered with something.
Yeah.
The body didn't get found until like a year later. Well, so meantime, the little boy is still missing. His parents, are of course quite anguished about it. He starts sending postcards to the parents, taunting them. Really,
this is a common sentiment with psychopaths.
Yeah. Well, actually, I can't think of a single case where somebody has sent postcards to the family of their victims.
There have been a number of things that I've read about where people have been sending stuff to the families.
Yeah, anyway.
It's a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah, I don't understand why he didn't get the death penalty. But anyway, that book is The Postcard Killer. And the other book that he's written is called The Mail Order Serial Killer. And it's about a guy named Harry Powers, who is thought to have killed as many as 50 people. And he did get strung up. He was, when he was, I think he was caught in late 1931 and put on trial. And he was strung up about 6-7 months later, in early 1932. They really didn't.
So a fair and speedy trial.
Yeah, they didn't waste a lot of time back in those days. So anyway, enough of that. I haven't read the books yet. They get good reviews on Amazon, except for one guy. There's one guy who ordered The Postcard Killer. And there's another book out there called The Postcard Killers by James Patterson. You know that guy? Writes a lot of crime novels. Yeah, I guess he was wanting to get that book. He accidentally orders The Postcard Killer. So he orders this one instead, and he posted a 1-star review because he was so pissed because he got the wrong book.
Because he ordered the wrong
because it's a bonehead. He ordered the wrong. Yeah.
Oh, good.
The other reviews are 5-star reviews.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, back to our Atlanta killings. McLaughlin and Bing took. Two of the victims off the list because they died of gunshot wounds.
The MO.
Yeah, not really. Her throat was slashed, but she was thrown into the river afterwards. And so that one...
That didn't match.
Yeah, it doesn't quite match.
Because the MO was to bash them in the head, drag them somewhere secluded, and then cut their throats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, another victim had her skull crushed, but her throat was not slit. Another one was stabbed in the throat. Four others were eliminated because someone other than the Ripper had been convicted for killing them. Two more were eliminated because they were probable suspects. But one of them is the one that I was thinking maybe possibly should be on the list, but that could also be the copycat killing that I was talking about. So anyway, they narrowed it way down to 8. Still a pretty decent amount of people.
It's still quite a number of people for one person.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's more than I plan on killing.
I was going to say, I haven't gotten to 8 killings yet.
Not me neither. Yeah.
Yeah, despite all of your hard work.
Yep.
You know how hard it is to kill people from my office chair? It's really difficult.
Yeah.
I don't lift a finger and they don't die. It's really crazy. So...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is just not working out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the problem is with committing murders, unless you go out and totally randomly kill somebody, if you kill somebody, it's because you're highly motivated to murder them. And that's kind of points a finger back at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Probably why I'm never going to kill anybody. Also, I don't like blood.
So
I also didn't mention this. One person saw the Ripper and lived to tell the tale.
Oh.
Yeah, that was Emma Lou Sharp. She described him as a tall black man with broad shoulders, wearing a black suit and a wide-brimmed hat. There was one other account that I read said another woman named Mary Yadell had met the Ripper. She left her employer's place and went out in the alley, and she saw a tall black man. I think this was right after... The reports in the newspapers from Emma Lou Sharp seeing a tall black man. She goes out in the alley, sees a tall black man, and runs back inside and tells her employer. He goes out and confronts the guy. The guy just left. But
he had a gun. The employer went out with a gun.
Well, yeah, and just because he was tall and black doesn't really make him the Ripper.
No.
Yeah, at all.
Yeah,
and
not
when
quite,
you see somebody run into the... where I think he was in an alleyway, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Run into the alleyway brandishing a firearm.
Yeah, I'm going to leave.
I'm going to leave
him. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
In a hurry as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Emma Lou's the only one who saw him and lived to tell. Because
she got attacked.
She did get attacked, yeah.
She got stabbed in the back.
She got stabbed in the back, yeah. Yeah. So I'll talk about that in a minute here. Just in chronological order, we'll talk about the murders. First one was October 3rd, 1910. That was Maggie Brooks, age 23, walking home from work one night, and somebody bashed her on the head and slit her throat. And then months later, Rosa Trice, her body was found really close to her house, like about 75 yards away.
This is, what, 2 months later?
January 22nd, 1911. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
three months later.
Just a little over 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 months somewhere near, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking, let's see. No, I'd say more like 3.5 months, but, you know, whatever. Her husband was arrested for this. He was released for lack of evidence, and it does fit the MO pretty well. Next up, May 27th, 1911, Mary Walker, age unknown. Her body was actually found in the rear of her home. She had left her job as a cook the previous night, and I'm guessing that the Ripper followed her home.
Hmm.
And people say, I'm not sure if these accounts mean that she was actually in her home or in the yard behind her home. I'm not totally sure.
Every time I read it, I got the impression that she was outside.
Yeah.
I never got the idea that the Ripper was killing people inside of their homes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
I didn't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I think it's a heck of a lot more work than he was up for.
Yeah, I think so. At this time, there's still months going by, but now it's sped up a little bit. Next one was June 15th, 1911, so, you know, a little over 2 weeks later. And that was Addie Watts, and she'd been hit with a brick instead of a rock. and then dragged into the bushes, and her throat was cut. And next up, June 24th, only 9 days later, Lizzie Watkins, same MO. She was hit with a rock, you know, throat cut. And then came Lena Sharp. That's Emma Lou Sharp's
mother.
Mother, yeah. There are two versions of this. The version you hear the most is that Lena had gone to the store, and when she hadn't come back in about an hour, Emma Lou got worried and went looking for her and went to the store, and she hadn't been to the store. So she's walking back home, frantically worried about her mother, and this runs into this black guy, tall black guy, broad shoulders and all that stuff. And he said to her, "How are you feeling tonight?" And she said she was feeling fine, and she tried to walk past him, and he says, "Don't be afraid. I never hurt girls like you."
And then stabbed her in the back.
And then stabbed her in the
and
back.
Laughed.
And laughed.
What?
Yeah, but that was a great joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I don't think that's a joke at all.
No, it's sick.
Yeah.
Weirdo.
Yeah, and then, of course, the body of her mother was found not too much longer after that.
Mm-hmm.
The second version, I forgot to mention, by the way, hang on. That first story was from the Atlanta Constitution. There were several papers in Atlanta at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next version is from the Atlanta Journal. In this version of it, Lena and Emily were out walking, and then
together.
And he jumped out of the bushes, he hits Lena on the head with a brick. And then she's knocked unconscious, so he starts slashing at Emma Lou, who screams and runs, but faints from blood loss, because apparently he did connect a few times. And she ran off. The Ripper cuts Lena's throat and then follows Emma Lou. She wakes up and finds him standing over her with a knife. But then the sounds of people running, footsteps and everything, people came running, and so he took off into the darkness. So one of two stories, you know.
I'm inclined to believe the first one.
Uh-huh.
The second one sounds like it's from a John Gresham novel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just
Gresham.
It's just perfect. Oh, the high tension of it all. Like,
yeah.
It just sounds like
yeah.
It is a reporter running off his little details.
I don't know. You don't think that him saying, "Don't worry, I never hurt girls like you," and then stabbing her in the back and laughing, that's not out of a John Gresham novel? Like, that's not...
So that
you think that's more believable?
I do.
Really?
Picture Manson saying that as he walks by you on the street.
I mean, I just think the second one sounds more like his MO.
It kind of does.
That he like bashed her over the head and then was standing over her and she happened to come to.
But he never attacked a pair. Of all of the cases that are this central core eight murders that are believed to be attributed to him.
Yeah, always lone women. Yeah.
They're always alone. So this is a real jump.
But she was alone too. You mean it's just single a night?
By themselves, one at a time, alone walking down the street.
I don't know. She was alone walking down the street.
No.
It was her and her mother walking together. In the second version.
Oh, in the second version. Yeah, that's
right,
true.
Right, which is the one you're saying that you find more plausible.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think the MO of that second one sounds more plausible. Why not both?
Keep in mind that Emma Lou is the mother, correct?
No, Emma Lou is the daughter.
Okay, so it's Lena.
Lena
was hit in the head with a rock, and she did have her throat slit, and she was drugged away from where it appears she was hit. So that's consistent with the MO.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that, the other thing about it is I don't think he would have stuck around to slit Lena's throat. If Emma Lou's running away, there's a witness.
Yeah.
You're going to go catch her and bash her head in.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go do all the throat slitting part of things.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, after that, after Emma Lou's account hit the papers and everybody had heard the description of the killer, we had our first confirmed attempt at a copycat killing.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is somebody named Katie Cochran. She wanted to murder her husband's girlfriend.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I know. Hey. I know. And, her name was Maddie Alexander. So Mrs. Cochran was tall, so she figured she could pass herself off as the Ripper. So she dressed herself up in a black suit and a wide-brimmed Stetson hat. And then went over to Maddie's house with a straight razor. And by the way, the whole thing about him wearing a black suit and a wide-brimmed hat, he didn't necessarily wear the same costume every time.
No.
You know, only one person saw him one time. I mean, he might have mixed up his wardrobe a little bit.
Hopefully.
So anyway, he goes over to Maddie's.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Now what?
I I was just going to say, like, in the early 1900s, it's not as though people had, like, extensive wardrobes, right?
No, that's a good
clothes
point.
Were, it's not as though you had a closet full of clothes. You had different, I mean, there was a thing, there was such a thing as having different collar pieces. You would replace the collar on your shirt because that was what would get dirty and sweaty.
Mm-hmm.
You would wear the same shirt, the same suit jacket, the same pants for mm-hmm. literally as long as you could.
No, that's a good point.
So
yeah.
it's not unreasonable to think that he might have had something the same or even very similar that were all interchangeable.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other reason to wear dark clothes is at night, blood doesn't show up on them.
That's well, they just idea. Don't show dirt as much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking about the blood in general and then kneeling
over
a victim.
Wear red, probably.
Yeah.
I wear red.
I mean, black is probably better.
No,
it
black
absorbs
works.
The blood and...
No, sure. it helps
no,
you blend
Joe saw
in.
Deadpool, obviously.
Yeah, I haven't
where
seen
that joke is coming from.
I have not seen Deadpool yet. I want to see it. But
I can tell
yet.
You as a lady who has to deal with blood on a very regular basis, black is the color.
Okay.
It's not red.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about the confrontation between Katie Cochran and Maddie Alexander.
Yeah.
So she goes over to her house with a straight razor. And her idea was to lure her out of the house and then kill her. Maddie answered the door, but not surprisingly refused to leave her house.
What?
Because, yeah. Well, because... You know, it was out in the news. That maybe Katie Cochran shouldn't have telegraphed her intentions by dressing up like the Ripper.
That seems silly.
Yeah, she also made the mistake of talking about this to a couple of women, one of whom ratted her out.
I love that. You know what I think I'm going to do tonight? I think I'm going to be the Atlanta Ripper.
Yeah, I'm just going to go murder somebody.
I'm just going to go kill somebody. Yeah. I just don't like her very much, so I'm going to kill her.
I know, she's screwing around with my husband. Yeah. I'm going to go slit her throat. So she got 30 days in jail for that one.
30 days?
I know.
That's it?
Well, I mean, she didn't actually attempt the murder. She
attempted the murder.
Well, she was planning on doing it.
She didn't do anything.
She didn't actually
to harm
harm
this woman.
All yeah. right, that's fair.
You know,
there's a lot of rulings that are around this case that are so 27 days in jail. It's like what?
Why?
Like today, that would be a 5-year sentence.
At least.
Yeah, there was some guy who was arrested and tried for... we're going to talk about him in a second anyway.
All right.
Here he is. Yeah, July 1911, right around the same time, a guy named Jim Murphy was put on trial. It wasn't like the trial of the century because his crime was threatening to cut his wife's throat.
So it's a threat.
Yeah, it was a threat. Apparently, it was motivated by jealousy, and so he wanted to cut her throat. And at trial, somebody mentioned the possibility that Jim Murphy might actually be the Ripper. This is one of the guys who was one of the doubters. The judge at the trial, a guy named N.R. Broyles, said, and I'm quoting here, quote, "There is no such thing in Atlanta as a Negro Jack the Ripper," unquote. And then he then went on to say, quote, "There are at least 1,000 Negro men in Atlanta today who stand ready to cut the throats of their wives at the slightest provocation."
I feel like you could, like, edit that to say, "There are at least 10,000 men in Atlanta today who stand ready to cut the throats of their wives."
Yeah, I mean.
Right?
Yeah, this guy, but anyway, this guy was, you know, kind
didn't
of a
skeptic. Didn't we say, wasn't that a quote that we had recently that was like, the only thing that makes you a murderer is matrimony?
Yeah.
That was like a couple months ago.
About,
there
yes.
was something about that.
I can't remember which one that was.
That sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah.
So anyway, he was kind of a skeptic about this, and it appears a lot of the white population of Atlanta thought that this was just a case of black people doing what black people do, which in their opinion was just killing each other.
Which is kind of a shame.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Julia Wallace.
It
was Julia Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
from a similar time period, in fact.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was right about that time, yeah.
Ish. Before 1950. That's all the same time period, right?
Oh, totally.
Between 1850 and 1950. The same
well,
time
according
period.
To some people,
yeah.
that era in time was made up. So,
that's
yeah.
true.
I don't know if it was that particular spot.
It wasn't that spot.
It wasn't yeah. that one.
Yeah,
it was earlier than that.
Yeah.
That's a different episode.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That's kind of an interesting theory.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Oh, anyway, other
so
locals...
most people thought this was, most of the white population kind of thought it was a hoax, huh?
No, I wouldn't even say most, but there was a substantial
the
number
people. The
people
who maybe you wouldn't want to think it was a hoax, like
yeah.
judges and police officers and sheriffs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think... if not a hoax, it wasn't connected.
Sure.
So, it wasn't one guy doing it all. It just happened to be a bunch of murders that happened to look similar that were not, according to the authorities, done by the same person.
Yeah. You gotta like... Okay.
Kind of like smiley face murders.
Yeah. It's like that. Yeah, I mean, it's like it's entirely possible. I think it's unlikely, but it's entirely possible that these were all just random murders. It could be. I doubt it. Oh, another theory that was out there was a local sheriff named Plenty Minor actually said that the killings were probably jealous wives who were just knocking off their husband's girlfriends. Just maybe he was inspired by Katie Cochran, I don't know. And, of course, we should remember back in those days, the whole phrase serial killer had not yet been invented. And maybe some people just couldn't wrap their minds around the idea that a single person would go around murdering random people.
Well, it took,
I mean, we
it
take
took
that for granted
several
nowadays.
Serial killers who were quite prolific to be busted and have very concrete evidence brought forward before I think that people in just would actually accept it. It's like, nah, there's no way that that guy killed all those people and stuffed them in his basement. And then they haul them all out of his basement and they go, oh, that's weird.
Uh-huh. That's such a weird thing. Maybe we should like investigate at some point.
What's that?
What did this thing not exist before this time? Was it way less prevalent or was it just not
the concept of a serial killer?
Not the concept. Did people just, you know, in like 1700s, did people, were there not serial killers?
You know,
there
I
mean, I would assume there had to have been, but were there not as many because there weren't as many people or like what?
Well, there's that, but you
That's
know.
Such an interesting question to me. Again, for another episode.
Well, there, I,
but
I,
right
I've heard
now,
an interest, no, actually, now that you mentioned that, I heard a very interesting theory regarding that, and that is that serial killers have always been with us, and that is actually quite possibly the genesis of a lot of our monster tales, things like the werewolves and vampires and things like that. A lot of those superstitions might be from these weird killings that were happening, you know, thousands of years ago. People in a village were showing up, you know, disemboweled and cut into pieces and stuff like that. And so people invented monsters. So maybe it's...
That's an interesting theory.
It is. And it's kind of hard to check out if it's true or not.
Yeah.
Without getting in the Wayback Machine. At this time, of course, in Atlanta, you can imagine black folks mostly believed in the Ripper's existence because, I mean, he was killing them.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, it was a scary time. A lot of people started spending a whole lot more time at home, believe it or not, especially at night.
Which probably, you know, escalated the killing because, oh my God, I'm around my family all the time. I'm going to kill them.
Yeah, that guy, yeah.
I know that feel.
Those guys are
I know that feel solidly.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, they were black women were afraid of being murdered and black men were afraid of getting arrested and accused of being the Ripper. Because especially after
it's a total climate of fear, yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely. And, you know, after the mayor started putting pressure on the police, you could see how the cops might just decide to pin it on somebody. You know?
Which they did.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
They at least tried. They arrested some people for it. Let's get back to our victim list. So we're almost done with that. The next murder, number 7, was on July 10th, 1911. That was Sadie Hawley. Her body was found by some workmen. She'd been bashed in the head with a large stone, which was found nearby. And then she was dragged off and her throat was cut. And in this case, her shoes had been cut off her feet, which was kind of an interesting thing.
That was not indicative of...
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
That it's indicative of the weird psychology of a serial killer.
Right, but it's not something that we had seen in the prior 6 cases that we know of.
Yeah.
Her shoes had been cut off her feet. Her feet hadn't been.
Correct.
Cut.
Yeah, no.
Okay. My brain
This is
was
not
like,
the Salish Sea.
Yeah. I'm sorry. My brain interpreted that the wrong way.
Yeah.
So her shoes were cut. Were her shoes found close to her body?
Yeah, pretty close.
They were found.
They were found, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as though they were taken as a souvenir.
No, they weren't. The next murder I'm going to talk about, this is the one that might be real or it might be a copycat. This is one of the ones that McLaughlin and Bing took off their list, but I'm going to put it back on at least for a second here. Her shoes were also removed. And other than that, it was the usual MO, except for one other thing. This was Minnie Wise, by the way. And her right index finger had been hacked off at the middle joint, which was a little change up in the MO, and I have no idea why that happened. There's no real earthly reason for it that I can think of, although maybe, again, just some escalation.
Or it was a defensive.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, she may have seen him coming and put up her hand, and he took a swipe at her.
Uh huh.
And that happened to catch a finger.
Would have had to have been a roll sharp knife to cut through a finger bone.
So listen, some of these attacks, the bodies are described as the heads nearly being taken off.
Okay, but so like, just in terms of like the physics of cutting a finger off.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, going through the bone and everything like that.
In the air.
He would have to hit it perfectly.
It would have had to have been perfect.
Super sharp and super... on target. I get that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, you know, it's the only reason.
So like, but that's a different thing for me. Like, it's pretty easy if you're, I'm sorry for the morbidity of this, but if a victim is laying, you know, on their back on the ground, it's not so hard to shove a sharp knife in and pull it across to almost sever a head versus like in the air, my hands are up.
Oh, no, yeah, I get it.
Going through bone. I think he probably deliberately took it off.
Yeah, know. It would have to have been like she was laying there and it's not so hard to just it something off if it's against solid ground.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. That's why we use cutting boards. That's why we don't like cut carrots in the air.
Good point.
Right?
You don't.
You know,
I've actually heard that apparently fingers are similar to carrots.
Are they really? That, really? You're talking about flavor or what?
In ease of cutting.
Oh, okay.
That's what
I would think they'd be tougher because you get bone.
I would think that that would be the case, but apparently it's, I mean, carrots, you know, like the really thick ones, they can be pretty hard to cut through.
I suppose, yeah.
Especially with a dull knife.
We will.
That's
we'll
how
just...
you cut fingers off. Whoa!
Okay, after the show, after we're done recording here, we're going to Rochambeau and pick one person. And I'm gonna
it's going to be like four rooms all over again, right?
Yeah.
With the lighter?
Yeah. Oh, I haven't seen that one.
You don't know. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. What was I talking about?
Back to...
Yeah, Minnie Wise. Yeah, Minnie Wise, the finger... I'm thinking...
She also had a husband, right?
She did have a husband. But I was thinking with the finger, I was thinking, that I wonder if she had a ring on that finger and it just didn't want to come off.
That's but possible.
Yeah. Well, anyway, her husband, his name was Bud Wise, which I think is a cool
a good name.
Yeah, I like that. He was arrested. Apparently, she was jealous of her. Apparently, she was.
No, he was jealous of her.
He was jealous of her, yeah. She was apparently sort of interested, I don't know if seriously or not, in some other guy, and he had threatened to kill her. The detectives in this case felt like he was just taking advantage of the whole Ripper thing to camouflage his own murder, and that it was, you know, actually a copycat murder. But...
Which is something Joe thinks about a lot.
Yeah, exactly. No, I, you know.
No, you do. I know you do.
Well, yeah, I mean.
I'm aware if a serial killer ever comes to light in Oregon, I'm going in hiding for a while.
Yeah, I know exactly. Because I know time to kill Devin and replace her with somebody else.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just hide in his gun closet. You'll be safe.
I don't know about that.
She doesn't have the combination. Yeah. And if possible.
Quick, come in here. You'll be safe.
Yeah. And yeah, it is possible this was a copycat killing. It's possible a few of the other ones were copycat killings because this is a great time to go settle a score. You just want to be really careful not to get arrested. You know, you go to kill just one person and they all get pinned on you. So
yeah.
That wouldn't be so good.
And that's why so many people, I feel like so many deaths were attributed to the Atlanta Ripper because people were like, somebody's out there killing women, and I really hate that broad.
Uh-huh.
Perfect opportunity, and just, you know, kill her in some fashion that you know it has something to do with cutting the neck, and then it gets lumped on. Like, that's why I feel like the number was so, was it 18 was the, or 19 or something? It was huge.
19, yeah.
Can we just pause to say that that really upsets me?
What's that?
Just the fact that there are so many dudes out there in that supposition, right? There are so many dudes out there in Atlanta who are like, I really hate this lady. I'm going to kill her. Within like a year, 2 year span.
But there may have also been a lot of women out there. Think of, what's her name, who got in trouble for dressing up
as
the Ripper.
So let me amend that. There are that many people out there.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually very upsetting to me. I am more comforted by the fact that it's one single psychopath who's just, like, killing people at will than it is that there are 20 or 30 people who are like, you know what? This person, I don't like them very much. There's a serial killer out there. I'm just going to kill this person. Somebody else will get the credit. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I have no moral quandary with that at all. That is way more upsetting to me than a serial killer who might have killed 20 people. More upsetting.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
Welcome to society.
I know.
But, you know, it's
that's
just...
the thing. I guess.
This is why I don't like people in general, as a rule.
That's why I'm much happier with the theories of, like, it was one person, it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if it makes you feel any better, though, as an overall trend, murder is going down. It's been going down for a while.
Yes, that does make me feel better.
Yeah.
So, I have not yet been murdered.
That you haven't. Not yet.
So that's good.
You've come close a few times.
I'm on trend. So, next victim.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What are we talking about? Our last victim, at least according to the professor and his writing partner, murder number 8, Mary Putnam. This is the one that was different. Her body was found in a ditch, and it had been covered with some loose dirt. So, and her heart had been
cut out. Like an attempt to bury it.
Yeah, it wasn't a serious attempt. It's just like kicking dirt over it, I think, you know. Okay. So,
yeah, but any attempt to bury it shows some remorse, right? That's the typical, like, that's how people... I'm sorry, you guys are both looking at me like that's the brand new concept to you.
No, yeah, I don't take that as remorse. I take that as... I normally hide it in the bushes, and there's no bushes. How do I hide it so I can get away?
I'll shove it in the ditch, yeah. Right. Yeah. So that probably was what it was. But this was different in that her heart was cut out. It was laying next to her. So, yeah, that's a deviation.
Yeah, and usually you don't see that kind of escalation at the very... Right, that kind of escalation, it continues, usually, unless that person is caught.
Arrested.
That's the thing, is that, like, as far as we know... The Ripper wasn't caught. Again, it's just like the British Jack the Ripper. This is it.
Yeah.
And this lady is the last one.
But with like the British...
It's a peak and then it just goes away.
With the British Jack the Ripper, I feel like there was a natural peak of like, that's about the worst thing you could do to a body, kind of.
But again, we're going to go down that same rabbit hole. Is it that it stopped?
Right. But no, I mean, like, that's the thing for me is like, okay, so like if the escalation of the whatever psychosis that's going on is this is literally the worst thing you could do to a body. The worst thing you could do to a body is like kind of cut a heart out and like leave it next to it. Like, that's not true. That's not true at all.
There's lots more you can do.
There's so much more. So you would, for me, as a total armchair person who I guess has a couple years of experience of reading about cases like this at this point, I would expect that if this person were free, that there would be that escalation, unless we're going to go to Joe's de facto explanation of there was one person in the mix that was the intended target and everybody else was just like to cover up the rest of it.
Yeah, there is always that. I think, though, if this had been somebody just wanting to kill one person, no need to kill 8 people or 9 or whatever. That's risky. Yeah.
So can we go back and re-record the Jack the Ripper episode? Because
no.
I feel like that was the argument with Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. No.
Right? Am I crazy that, like, that argument there?
Yeah, well, that's the thing about it. You know, Jack the Ripper murdered 5 women.
Yeah, no need to murder 5 women. Just murder 3.
The question is, up to the point he started murdering them, why wasn't he murdering them before? And why wasn't he murdering them afterwards? Right. You know, why?
Yeah. I think the general assumption is that you read about people who are serial killers who have been caught. And their parents or people who are close to them say, yeah, they were like, it was weird. There were mutilated squirrels all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Or like he beat the dog up. And then suddenly he was big enough to take it into a human realm. And then he was caught or the escalation finished or he moved out of that area.
Yeah.
Or get killed. I mean, serial killers are by and large male, but there are some female serial killers. So I just default to the male pronoun. Yeah, I apologize.
No, most murderers are
male.
I apologize to all of the female serial killers out there who were like, hey, what about me?
Yeah.
I apologize.
That's why you don't know Devin's last name.
I mean, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
That's the general slope of escalation. What are you going to call that? The general something of escalation. General path of escalation, maybe?
Yeah.
Is the word I'm looking for.
So, yeah, I mean, there was some escalation here. I mean, he cut off a finger and then on victim number 7.
Regression.
And then the heart. The heart, that's a big jump,
I have to agree.
That's
a big jump. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if he did stop, why?
Right. Or moved out of the...
Yeah, he moved out of town, maybe. I mean, by this time, it was kind of late 1911, and the police were really serious about it, and everybody was on edge. Maybe he decided to just move on.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to say.
Somewhere else.
You know what?
Move to England, man.
Well, you know what, too? That life was more dangerous back then. Maybe somebody murdered him.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know.
Or died in a work environment.
Yeah. Or of sickness of some kind.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't have antibiotics back in those days. So, yeah. I mean, it's real easy to get done in by just an internal infection.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. According to the papers, the killings resumed in 1912, and there were 5 maybe Ripper murders that year, and then it ended. I did come across one source who claimed that there was another one, as I mentioned before, in 1913 and another in 1914. This is a guy I don't take very seriously because he's one of the people that makes the claim that the Ripper mutilated his victims, and as we know, that's not true.
And that's based on the death certificates that were looked up. About specifically what was done to the body.
Yeah, yeah, Professor
Moriarty.
Yeah, Professor McLaughlin. he said that they almost just about in all cases got a hold of the death certificates, and so.
But do we believe those five in 1912?
I don't think so. So these guys, the five in 1912. I mean, let me think here. Three of them were eliminated because somebody was arrested and convicted for their murders.
Mm.
Yeah, and then the other two, one of them was stabbed, and another one that the MO was different.
Really just the media sensationalizing these.
Yeah,
murders.
I mean, once they've had this whole spate of killings, you know, obviously these women are showing up dead. Obviously, conclusion you're going to jump to
is that the horrible thing that happened a year ago.
And this guy too. This guy is. I don't know if you watched any of that video I sent you the link to, the really awful one.
Mm.
Did you watch?
You in fact advised me to not watch.
I did after watching a little bit of it, but then I sent, if you recall, I told you should watch at least a few minutes of it.
I did watch a few minutes of it.
Just to find out how bad that is.
Yes.
Was it bad or what?
Yeah, I mean, it was not good.
No, not at all.
It's hard. There are so many. Sometimes I am tempted to say, Steve, let's post the link to this thing so that people can understand the hardships that we face when we research our episode.
Yeah.
And Steve goes, I can't do that to people.
Yeah. No. This one was an hour and a half long interview, and I suffered through about an hour of it.
It was a phone interview, right?
Yeah. It was her on video facing the camera and then a picture of the guy.
But he was mostly talking, and so she was kind of bored the whole time.
Yeah. She would be looking around or just making weird expressions.
But she also was sick.
Yeah. And she was sick and then coughing and stuff.
So she had runny eyes and watering eyes. But no, I mean.
So that guy that she was interviewing who claimed to be an expert on this, he said another thing.
Also a medium, right?
Yeah. And he said, he also said that black serial killers are extremely rare. And that all serial killers are almost all of them are white.
That's offensive.
Well, that's complete bunk. I mean, actually, serial killers are very well distributed among the races.
I'm sorry. I'm staring, and I know that you're both looking at me like I'm a weirdo because I'm just baffled by that.
Mm-hmm.
It is not attributed to any race, and while it is to one gender more than another, It's
pretty well distributed. Oh, yeah. I mean, in America, obviously, it's a majority white country, so obviously the majority of serial killers are going to be white. Sure.
But it's a demographic.
But percentage-wise, maybe?
Yes, that would be a better way to say it.
Accurately.
Yeah, as a percentage of the population in that demographic.
Same, about the same percentage of each.
It's going to be roughly the same. When you're talking about, you know, many
crazy people transcend everything.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. You know, it could be that one particular race, I doubt it, but is more susceptible to this kind of stuff, but I don't think so. I really kind of doubt that.
No, because we hear about this all over the world.
Oh, yeah. It does happen everywhere.
Yeah. They just take different forms. I mean, sometimes, right, you are extra smart, and so you figure out how to say, like, oh, I'm a witch doctor, so it's okay that I'm murdering all these people, right? Or, oh, hey, I'm a savior, so it's okay that I'm murdering all these people, or, king. You know, it just goes on and on, but you find them everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty much.
So are we in theories yet?
Yeah, we're gonna start theories.
Thank goodness.
Oh my God.
Let's talk this. Yeah, so I know. Long. I know. We usually get to the theories a lot sooner than this. Mm-hmm. Theories is going to be short, actually.
Okay.
So our theories are, one, the Ripper did not exist. Well, I did.
So wait, this means that every one of these every unique murder was by a unique perpetrator.
And it just happened to be that some of them shared some similarities.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that it's possible that not every murder attributed to the Ripper was done by him.
But
I do think, especially in mid 1911,
the Ripper had a time machine.
Yeah. What do you guys think? Do you buy into the whole Ripper didn't exist thing?
No.
Yeah. All right. So our next theory is that this is put forth by sheriff.
By the sheriff.
Yeah, Plenty Minor, the sheriff. It was black wives murdering their husbands' girlfriends.
Side girls, please.
Yeah.
While I know that there's a lot of wives who would like that to be the case, I don't think that's it.
I also don't think they're that. I don't think that it's that rampant, right? That husbands
philandering
have girlfriends.
Men?
Yeah.
So, okay, there's the thing. a lot of dudes like to think that they are cool enough and hot enough and suave enough get a girlfriend. I'm sorry, we're all fat and ugly.
You got the one.
We got lucky with the one.
Yeah. You locked that one down.
99% of men can't manage to get to handle two at once.
No, it's
not happening.
It really is hard to like keep all your lies straight and everything. Yeah. You know? It really is. Yeah, so it's better just to keep it simple.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. So, okay.
So what's our next one?
Well, our next theory is that the Ripper did exist.
I agree.
Yeah, I think he most likely did. For one thing, throat cutting, I think, is not a really, it's not a really typical murder method.
It's not. It's also a fairly gruesome murder method.
It's messy.
Gruesome, messy, bloody.
If we were going to go with the Ripper was just a bunch of black wives murdering husbands' girlfriends, like, that's an intense way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not, well, I guess bashing someone over the head hard enough to knock them out
requires
a significant amount of physical strength.
Yes. Yeah. And then on top of that, the will or guile even to slit someone ear to ear.
Yeah.
That's intense, you guys. That's really intense.
Yeah, I think that most people that get killed with knives are usually stabbed.
Yeah.
Yes. Rest,
you know? So I would say, once, right? You do the one and you're like, oh, God, that was rough.
Whoops.
But I don't have to do it again.
Yeah.
I don't have to, drag that knife anywhere. So I would say it's one person who... that was a thing for.
And here's the great... The thing about stabbing them is that... If you stab somebody, if you're strong enough and accurate enough that you can hit a vital organ, and just
walk away,
pull the knife out, and there's not going to be that much blood.
No,
nothing.
It's internal.
Nothing at all compared to the kind of blood you're going to get on you when you cut somebody's throat. So
fountain.
Especially when you slit the jugular.
Oh yeah,
it's just
spraying
fountain
all over the place. Yeah, I know. And of course, there's always, there's always, I think if this was random people, I think it'd be more stabbings and shootings and not throat cutting. So I think this was truly a serial killer with pop.
The majority.
Possibly.
There were some outliers, certainly.
With
but
possibly a copycat in there, but yeah.
So who?
Who was? Nobody
was
knows. Yeah, nobody knows. Well, there were some guys arrested. There were suspects.
Six, right? There were six guys that were arrested.
I saw the names of like five, but only.
They always say there were six people.
Yeah. Well, and that's if you count, there were a couple of other people who were arrested for individual murders of people that were counted in, they were lumped in with those guys.
Okay.
And so, I came across four. So there's Todd Henderson, and he was arrested, but he was actually in custody when several murders happened.
Oh, so that's not so
that proves
good.
It wasn't him.
Kind of lets him, well, either that.
For the whole.
Either that or he has some really good friends on the outside that went out and murdered people just to give him a good alibi.
That'd be rough.
I doubt it. Yeah,
I
kind of
doubt,
doubt that. Another guy was Henry Huff, who was arrested for the murder of Sadie Holly. But again, it appears that one more murder happened while he was in custody. And so...
He was also acquitted, maybe?
Yeah, they were both tried and acquitted. Next up was Henry Brown. He was put on trial for the killings, but it turns out the Atlanta police had beaten a confession out of him.
That's
so
always
he
solid.
Was acquitted. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's doubtful.
Probably
it was
not him.
And then,
as you say, they figured out that the police had done that, it was because he was willing to say anything. Basically, you want me to say I have wings? I have wings, and I flew from the top of a building, and then I got them.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what you want? Okay, great. No, I'm flinching. Don't come near me.
Please don't.
Like, that's how severely they beat this guy.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I don't think I would have to get beat that hard to be in that mindset.
Yeah.
You know,
I would,
a couple
no,
minutes.
Me either. It's
with a nightstick, I'd be like, yes, I will say literally whatever you want. Yes, I am. I'm Russian. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That reminds me of a joke, but I'll tell you guys later.
Okay.
Yeah. Who else? Charlie Owens was considered, but he was arrested for the murder of his wife, Alacy Owens, in 1912. And I think this was after the murders stopped. He was sentenced to life. I'm just not seeing him as a suspect because he just had a good motive for murdering his wife.
Yeah,
you know, and not necessarily.
Yeah, if he's murdering
people
that he doesn't know, that's a weird way to work up to killing your own wife.
It kind of is.
I don't know. Practice, maybe.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
maybe.
So yeah,
I don't have a wife.
Yeah,
you have a wife.
I do.
You tell me.
I've been practicing killing her for a while.
I know.
Yeah, she's gonna kill you first.
She is.
She absolutely is.
She's. I don't know. You don't know.
The two of you. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't know Steve's wife as well as I do, but she's a lot more intense than he is.
I know.
I am a pussycat.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I have met her.
Yeah.
I have met. I've met the Mrs. Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it for our suspects. It's just about 100% certain we're never going to find out who the Ripper was. I do believe he existed. The only chance is if somebody stumbles across their great-great-uncle's journal, maybe, in some old family papers.
Chances are good that if somebody stumbles across that, they're not going to probably want to share it.
I got to be honest, yeah. I wouldn't.
I don't know. I'd be highly tempted myself. But, you know,
there's not that much money in it, though.
That's true. But yeah,
people think, oh, wow, I've got this great sensational story. And one place offers you a little bit of cash. You're like, it's going to be a cash cow. And they try to tell the world, and the world doesn't care.
Well, that's exactly it. If you came across the same thing for Jack the Ripper, that's a different story.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, like, even for me, though, it's you know, it's one thing if the cases involved are, like, missing people. If you find a diary of your great uncle who says, I murdered all of these missing kids.
And here's where I hid the bodies.
Yeah. That's a matter of closure for those families. These families
all
know.
Even 100 years later, yeah.
Right? These families all know their family members were murdered.
Mm-hmm.
For what reason? Who knows? And by who knows? But I don't think these families, I don't get the sense that these families are searching for some kind of like grandiose closure.
No, not really.
Right? So that like, what good does it do at that point?
Well, you know, frankly,
it's subsidies like us from talking about it.
Yeah, it's probably a pointless discussion.
But realistically, there are not that many idiots like us talking about this, so.
I don't know. According to the internet, there is.
There's a lot of them. Well, I think it's academic because it's very unlikely anybody's going to come across anything. So
right.
You come across that old journal of your great uncle, and you read the three pages of it, and you decide your great uncle was a boring guy, and you stop reading it, and that's that. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to happen. We'll never know. Unless one day we go back in the Wayback Machine.
We will.
Yeah, because I know, the thing about it is, I know the dates of the murders, and I know the addresses.
Yeah, we've got intersections where the
and
bodies
we are
were.
White people.
Yeah, exactly.
So it would be very easy
We'd
for
blend
us.
Right in, yeah.
Yeah, we would.
Sure, yeah. 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 So much for the Atlanta Ripper. But anyway, folks, now you know a little bit more about one more serial killer that you never heard of.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
That's why you listen to us, right?
This is exactly. Why you shouldn't leave your house, because they're everywhere.
Just stay inside and listen to us.
No.
Work from home.
No, nope. Don't even
work.
Work
from home,
stop
call
working.
1-900. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Wait,
no.
Yeah.
No, there will be no working from home. Just shut yourself in the basement.
Yeah.
Build yourself a little bunker that you can live in. Sell the house.
Boxes.
Sell the house to other people. Live in your bunker in your basement.
That sounds good,
that's
right?
Fine. Perfect.
Yeah. You guys have any more theories?
No.
Yeah.
Unanimously, no.
No.
Okay. Well, let me hand out a few useful factoids here. You probably want to know what our website is. Well, our website is thinkingsidewayspodcast.com, where you can download episodes. You can leave comments, check our links, because we always post links to the various resources for these mysteries. And, of course, you're probably listening to us on iTunes. If you're not listening to us on iTunes, you can subscribe to us there and also leave us a review, a good review preferably. And you can stream us from anywhere. I think every website.
Just
well,
about.
Yeah. Not even streaming websites anymore. It's every website. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Huffington Post.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and if you can't stream us from Huffington Post, then just send them a lot of angry emails. Lots of angry emails. We are on Facebook, you can like us and follow us, join the group, and there's all kinds of fun action in that group. We're on Twitter, Thinking Sideways. We left off the G because we're so hip, and there was a character limit too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And our email, of course, thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. You can communicate with us there. If you just want to tell us how awesome we are, that's cool. Or how not so awesome, or if you have a suggestion, those are nice.
That's a good place. You know, I guess I'm just going to go ahead and say again, leaving us a comment on iTunes of why you don't like the show or the sound quality is bad.
Those are all
Can
very...
you email us?
Well, the problem is a lot of that is episode specific, and though we've been saying that in the last 6 months,
mm-hmm.
it's in the back catalog, and usually it's folks who have listened to one episode and have made their decision.
I just mean
that's the hard
part. If you have something you want to discuss with us, do it in a format that you can discuss with us. Send us an email.
No, I agree with that.
Tweet at us. Do it on Facebook. Something that we can interact with you on, or on Reddit. You know, we have that subreddit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And frankly, if it comes to our email account, we're a lot more likely to see it.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. I patrol those other ones pretty heavily.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's nothing you can do on things like iTunes. That's what you're getting at.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. We can't say anything when iTunes is iTunes and we're done.
But if you genuinely don't like us, leave us a bad review on iTunes. I don't care.
Yeah. I would prefer you go to the Huffington Post and, you know, and leave those some nasty comments in the comments section. But yeah, whatever. If you have to do that, I guess. We have a subreddit, so go check out the subreddit. I'm not sure. I haven't looked at it for a while. Is anything going on out there?
It's alive.
She's
fine.
Nodding.
It is. It's great. Yeah.
Oh, it is? Cool. Okay. Yeah. Oh, and last of all, this is the part where the phones start ringing in the background. You can go to patreon.com. If you want to support us, you can actually pledge money, like, you know, $1 an episode or God knows what. Any
50 cents an episode.
50 cents is fine.
2 cents an episode.
As you want.
Yeah, as much as
$100 an episode.
Absolutely. Strictly optional, folks. You don't have to do it at all. But if you feel like it and you want to support us, then, you know, that's cool. So that's patreon.com/thinkingsideways.
Well, and we've also got the PayPal, which is also on the website, if you just want to do it one time, which is awesome. And we've got the merchandise.
We've got cool merchandise.
Yep.
Yeah. And so,
all of that's available through the right-hand panel on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. Anyway, that's about it from here. You guys have any more thoughts about the Atlanta Ripper or anything else?
No. Yeah. I just don't. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I think he's dead by now.
Probably.
Yeah. It seems likely.
Yeah. Yeah. Does seem likely, doesn't it? Yeah.
Your logic is quite sound in that.
Well, let me put it another way. I sure as hell hope he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so for this week, I'm signing off. Toodaloo.
Bye, guys.
Bye.